Scripture reading for tonight is Matthew 24, verses 1 through 28. Matthew 24, 1 through 28. I've been preaching a series in Edgerton on Matthew chapter 24. This is a passage that gives to us the signs of Jesus Christ's second coming. And this is the last I'm going to preach tonight on verses 23 through 28. That's the last verses that I dealt with in Edgerton. So Matthew 24, we begin at verse 1. Jesus is speaking to his disciples in the last week of his earthly ministry. And he gives them the signs of his coming, his second coming. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And now begins the text. Pay close attention to these verses. We won't reread them. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So far do we read God's holy, inspired word. Again, the text is verses 23 through 28, which will be referenced throughout the sermon. Christ speaks of deceivers or lying teachers a few times in Matthew chapter 24. First in verses 4b through 5, Jesus says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Then he speaks again of deceivers in verse 11, saying, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Then Jesus speaks again of deceivers, specifically false Christs and false reports of Christ's coming in verses 23 through 28, the text that we consider closely tonight. So Jesus speaks several times here of deceivers, showing the New Testament church, showing us, that we must be ready to face these deceivers in the New Testament age. He speaks of them three times, emphasizing we must be ready. Jesus also, when he speaks of deceivers three times in the first 28 verses, he's not simply repeating himself, but he's emphasizing something different each time. Jesus indicates that false teachers will come in different ways and that they will bring different messages. So in verses 4 and 5, Jesus speaks of false teachers coming in his name. That means that they come acting as if they have his authority and they're bringing his word. Then in verse 11, Jesus speaks again of deceivers, but there he talks about in the verse after, verse 12, of how that will lead to the love of many waxing cold. The love of many for God will wax cold as a result of these false teachings. So he emphasizes in those verses the effect of some of these deceivers. Then in our text, verses 23 through 28, Jesus speaks of false Christs and the false reports of Christ's second coming. That's the emphasis in our text. Today, then, we will be warned about these false Christs and the false reports of his coming, and may the Holy Spirit work through the Word to guard us. May he work powerfully to preserve us against these deceivers that we face and will face. Let's consider the text under the theme, the sign of false Christs and false reports. The sign of false Christs and false reports. First, the false Christs and false reports. Second, the necessary warning. And third, the certain outcome. We begin with the false Christs and false reports. Jesus prophesies that in the New Testament age, false Christs will arise and that there will be false prophets who bring false reports of Jesus' second coming. Verse 24, he begins by speaking of false Christs. He says, "There shall arise false Christs." That word there in verse 24, Christ, it means anointed one. It is the same word as Messiah in the Old Testament. And the idea of the word Christ is that the one who is the Christ is the anointed prophet, priest, and king of God's people. Like prophets, priests, and kings were anointed in the Old Testament, the Christ is the anointed prophet, priest, and king. He's the anointed prophet who brings God's word. He is the anointed priest who is devoted to God and makes the sacrifice for his people. He is the anointed king who rules over all and over his people in love. And that Christ, the anointed one, is the Savior. He's the deliverer. This text speaks of false Christs. False Christ. That word false means pseudo or not genuine or a sham. these false Christs will be people then that say that they are God's anointed, that they're the Christ, but they're not. They will act as if they are the anointed prophet who's bringing God's word, but they really don't. They bring man's word, and they will act like they are the king, the ruler over all, who's able to provide for all. They will act as if they are the deliverer. The Antichrist, or the false Christ, they will say that, each one of them will say that he's a savior. He's a savior, but he will really, he will offer a substitute salvation in the place of the true salvation accomplished by Jesus Christ. The Christ provides spiritual salvation from sin, eternal salvation. And the false Christ, all the false Christs, they will seek to bring a temporary earthly salvation from poverty, from wars, from hunger, from pestilences. The false Christ will offer everything that worldly man wants. World peace, bring social justice, medical advances, medical breakthroughs. And that's why false Christs are successful at getting people to follow them. Jesus says that these false Christs will arise. That's verse 24. They will arise. That means they will come. And the idea is that they will come throughout the New Testament age. Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 is answering two questions that his disciples give to him in verse 3. In verse 3, the disciples asked, first, tell us, when shall these things be? And they're referring to what Jesus had just spoken of, and that's the destruction of the temple. They first ask, when will that happen? Their second question in verse 3 is, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So they're asking two questions, and throughout Matthew 24, Jesus is answering both of those questions. Jesus is speaking of things that would happen in the disciples' lifetimes, like the destruction of the temple. But he's also speaking of things that will happen throughout the New Testament age as signs of Jesus' second coming. In verse 24, Jesus is saying that false Christs will arise throughout the New Testament age as a sign of his second coming. So false Christs will arise. And these false Christs will be supported by false prophets. False prophets who bring false reports of Christ's second coming. Verse 24 begins, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. What's a false prophet? Well, first, what's a true prophet? That word prophet in the text means to bubble over with the word of God. So a true prophet bubbles forth with the word of God and seeks to lead people in the way of God's word. A false prophet acts like he's bubbling forth with the word of God and seeking to lead the people in the way of truth, but he's not. Instead of bubbling forth with God's word, a false prophet bubbles forth with the word of man. And instead of leading the people in the way of God's word, a false prophet leads the people astray. Now, false prophets support false Christs. They support false Christs by bringing false reports of Christ's coming. Verse 23 says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Verse 26 says, wherefore if they, that's referring to false prophets from verse 24, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Or behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. So these false prophets will tell the people, go look for the true Christ in the desert. That is a place that's uninhabited by people, out in the wilderness. Look for him there. And other false prophets will say, look for Christ, the true Christ, out in a secret chamber, or that means a room in someone's house. Look for him there. You'll find him. Christ prophesied that there would be false Christs that will arise, and there will be false prophets arising in the New Testament time period. And Christ's prophecy has been coming to pass, and it will come to pass. There are many examples from the past of false Christs arising. That already happened in the early church. In Acts chapter 5, verses 36 through 37, we read of two men who acted as if they were the anointed of God, sent by him to deliver people from their troubles. Acts 5, I'll read verses 36 and 37 about these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. So those men, Theudas and Judas, they were men who claimed to be anointed leaders of God's people, said, follow us, we'll provide, we'll bring you this deliverance from these earthly troubles. And in the days since, there have been many who have said that they are the Christ. Many. If you do a Google search of people who have claimed to be the Christ, just in the last three centuries, you will have many, many names of people. And still today, so many claim to be the Christ. And you might think it's amazing, but when you consider that man naturally is led astray, understand that many have followed these people that have claimed to be the Christ and still do today. Almost all of these ones that you read of online that have claimed to be the Christ, almost all of them have had a large following. There are examples then of false Christs that have arisen in the New Testament time period. There are also many examples of false prophets reporting Christ's coming. That happened in the early church, in the church at Thessalonica. Paul addresses that issue in the two letters he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He speaks to them about these false teachers who have led many of them to think that Christ was coming very soon. In fact, in that year or certainly in their lifetime. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 2 and 3. Paul says to the church there, be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And Paul goes on to explain in that chapter signs of Christ's second coming so that the people are not deceived by these false teachers saying that he's coming and they should quit their jobs to wait for his coming. Some did that. Paul's correcting them. Since the days of the apostles, many more have given false reports of Christ's second coming. At the time of Luther and the Reformation, there was a man named Thomas Munzer who was actually a student of Luther's, but he went on to separate from Luther, and he got a bunch of peasants together and really coaxed them into starting a revolution against the princes in the land of Germany. And he told them that when they defeated the princes in that country, then that would usher in the coming of Christ and the millennium. Well, of course, that failed, and Christ did not come way back then. And then there was John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. He said that the millennium would begin in 1836, and that Christ would come then. He was wrong. In 1844, William Miller and his followers gathered to await the second coming of Jesus Christ. And many quit their jobs in that case too, sold their businesses, and they were greatly disappointed as Jesus did not come then either. The Jehovah's Witnesses prophesied that Jesus' second coming would occur in 1914. When Christ did not return visibly that year, they changed their tune and said that Christ made a spiritual return. He had come to set up a spiritual kingdom, just not the physical kingdom that they had been speaking of. Very recently, American Christian radio host Harold Camping, many of you have probably heard of him, he predicted the return of Jesus Christ. He used many numbers from Scripture, especially the book of Revelation, to teach that Jesus was going to come back in 1994. And when that prediction failed, a few years later, he used those same numbers, said, "I made a mistake," and he said, "Christ is coming in May 2011, and set up billboards across the country warning people, saying, be ready, he's coming in May 2011, even gave the exact day and the hour. Christ did not come then. Now notice that Christ said those kinds of things would happen. He said there would be false Christ. He said that there would be false reports of his coming. And each time we see that happening, that's a sign of his second coming. All those instances of false Christs and false reports show that Jesus is indeed coming just as he said he would. He said this would happen. When we see those things, it shows he's coming to bring us home in body and soul to live with him forever. He's coming soon. That's a comforting thought. Christ's prophecy has been coming to pass, has been, and it will in the future too. Christ is the truth. His prophecy will come to pass. In the years to come, there will be more false Christs, more false reports of his coming. And at the end, the false Christ will come, Antichrist. The prophecy in this text will ultimately be fulfilled then. Antichrist will falsely claim that he is the anointed of God. This Antichrist is spoken of in several passages of Scripture. One is 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4. And I will read a few verses from 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So Paul is saying that day, the day of Christ, Christ's return shall not come, except that man of sin, the son of perdition, come first. Verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." The true Christ is God. Antichrist will say that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4. Then verse 9 of that same chapter says that he will come with all power and lying wonders. Christ supported his claim to be the Messiah, the anointed of God, by the miracles that he did. Antichrist will try to support his claim to be the anointed of God by the wonders that he does, the miracles. Revelation 13 is another passage that speaks of this Antichrist that is yet to come. Revelation 13 speaks of the two sides of Antichrist. He will be a political power and a religious power. It speaks of him in the first section of Revelation 13 as a great king that will have political power over the nations. He's spoken of in verse 7 as one who is given power over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Christ is truly king. The real Christ is truly king over all. Antichrist, He will act as if he is the Christ who has the rule over all, the ultimate rule. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 describes his efforts further. We read in verse 11 that he will have two horns. It's speaking of Antichrist as a beast there, using a picture. That verse speaks of Antichrist as one who will come with two horns like a lamb. It's using picture language there, but notice it says he will come like a lamb. We know that the Lamb of God is the Christ. Antichrist will come as one who is like a lamb, acting like he is the Lamb of God, the Christ. And many will even worship him, as Revelation 13 shows. False Christ will arise. That's Jesus' prophecy. False reports of his coming will happen. And Jesus gives a warning in this text, a necessary warning. He warns, do not believe these false Christs. Do not believe the false reports of his second coming. And Christ gives a warning in this text because these false Christs are appealing to people. They are appealing to people for two reasons. First, these false Christs are appealing because they offer hope. They offer hope. Understand that earlier in Matthew 24, Jesus spoke of how in the New Testament age there will be, he says, wars and rumors of wars. Kingdom will rise against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. That indicates there will be economic chaos, there will be social unrest in the New Testament age. We see that. We see that today. And when life is difficult, people will latch on to anyone who they think offers some hope. Naturally, man loves the things of the earth, so people will latch on to those who promise to provide those things that they love and who they think, it looks like they can do that. They can bring that world peace. They can bring that end to the hunger problem in the world. They can bring social justice, economic stability. They will latch on. Naturally, man latches on to someone who offers those kind of things. In especially difficult times, there will be people that say they are the Christ and can provide those things. And there will be people that give false reports of Christ's second coming. That's what happened in Jerusalem in AD 70. It was a very difficult time for the Jews. In AD 70, the Romans came and they surrounded the city. And when that happened, according to the historian Josephus, there were those in the city that said, God will deliver us. He's going to send his anointed to help us. And then there were some who claimed to be that anointed. There were some who came and said, I'm the anointed one. I'm here to help you and deliver you from these Romans, give you this physical deliverance. That didn't happen. They perished. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed in AD 70. The people, though, understand, were looking for an earthly savior of some kind, an earthly Christ to deliver them. And that will happen in the future as well. The more miserable that people become, the more that they will look for a savior to help them. We can see how that might happen today. We can see how one will be ready to follow a person that promises to bring deliverance from a disease like COVID, and one who promises to bring social justice, world peace. Antichrist, the Antichrist, will fulfill their expectations. He will bring these things that are salvation to them. He will be that great earthly king, that great earthly deliverer that the world is looking for. So false Christ will be appealing, first of all, because they offer hope. Second, false Christ will be appealing because of the miracles that they will perform. Verse 24 says, there will arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. What are signs and wonders? Well, signs are supernatural acts, and they're really the same as wonders. Wonders is just the word from the perspective of man's reaction to those supernatural actions. Man wonders after them. Man is amazed by them. He marvels. We call signs and wonders miracles. The true church after the apostolic age does not do miracles. They do not perform those miracles. Miracles were done at the time of the apostles to confirm special revelation, new special revelation. And since the canon of Scripture has been completed, all the Bible has been written, there is no further special revelation from God. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, Paul says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, then Paul connects miracles with the apostolic age, the time when the apostles were alive. And other passages, too, indicate that after that apostolic age, these miracles being worked, ceased. We don't follow then in the New Testament age, we don't follow those who say they are able to do them. But after the apostolic age, the false church, false religion, and eventually the Antichrist, they claim to perform, and the Antichrist will perform, lying signs and wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 speaks of the Antichrist, whose coming, this is a quote, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So he will do signs and lying wonders. That word lying wonders there means literally wonders of the lie. And the idea is that he will do amazing things in the service of the lie. These will lead many people to marvel, specifically the unsuspecting. And he will use those miracles to try to bring people to follow him. That's been happening throughout the New Testament age. There have been people and groups that have claimed to be able to perform miracles to try to bring those people to follow them and their teachings, their doctrines. For instance, the Montanists, a religious sect in the late 2nd century, did this. And then the Roman Catholic Church in the Middle Ages claimed that saints could do miracles. And in fact, to be a saint, you had to have performed a miracle. Today, Pentecostals and Charismatics say that there are miracles, specifically healing and speaking in tongues. They do that, seeking to bring more people to think that their teachings are legitimate, their teachings are right. In the future, Antichrist will perform miracles by the devil's power. And he will point to those miracles and he will say, "Look! Look what just happened. That shows that I have the power of God. That shows I'm God's anointed." Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14. Revelation 13 and 14 speak of what Antichrist will do. It says, "He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." Those miracles that are spoken of in Revelation 13, they're not fake. They're not just illusions. Revelation 13 speaks of those miracles Antichrist will perform as being real. They're called lying wonders again in 2 Thessalonians 2, but that means wonders done in the service of the lie. It doesn't mean they're not real. They will be real. And Antichrist will do these amazing things by the power of Satan, who has been loosed. He will be loosed for a little season at the end. And the Antichrist will then have power to do things that natural man does not do and cannot do. Satan is much more powerful than natural man, than men. He will give Antichrist the power to do these things. His miracles will be real, and man, if left to himself, he will see those works that Antichrist performs, and natural man, left to himself, will say, only the anointed of God. Only the anointed of God could do that. He is the anointed of God. He is the Christ. And they will bow and worship him. These false Christs are appealing, and thus Jesus warns in the text. He says, believe them not. Believe them not. That warning is very necessary. Many will be gullible, and they will believe anything they are told if it comes to them from someone that they deem to be a credible Bible teacher. To see that, understand that there are nearly 600 million Pentecostals and charismatics in the world today. That's a lot of people following false teachings. And there are far more than that following false teachings. Again, naturally, man strays from the truth. And that happens also in regard to false Christ and the false reports of his coming. Almost all those who have claimed to be Christ in the past had a large following. Harold Camping, one who brought a false report of Christ's coming, he had a large following. He brought many out of true churches. He said, I have this insight into something that nobody else does. I know exactly when Jesus Christ is going to return. And many, naturally again, man he's attracted to that idea that he might know something very few others know, so he goes along with Harold Camping. That's what many men did. If these false teachers in the past and today, if they have gotten many followers, then think of how many followers the Antichrist will have. The Antichrist, one who will offer such hope and be given great power to do many things people have never done before. Imagine how many followers he will have. And understand that, see that they will love. People will hear what he says, hear his promises, and they will love it. They will say, that's exactly what we want, exactly what you're promising. There will be false Christs and false reports about his coming. And so Jesus says in verse 23 of Matthew 24, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. And verse 26, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. So if someone says that Christ is in such and such a place, go find him. Jesus says to us, don't give any credence to it, even for a moment. Don't even go to check it out to satisfy your curiosity. Don't go. Jesus says in verse 26 and 27 and other passages that Christ's return will not be this secret where you have to go into the desert to find him. Jesus says that his return will be visible to all. Verse 26, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. Then verse 27 says, for or because as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 27 is indicating that like the lightning begins in the east, goes even to the west, so that, and everybody sees it. That's the idea of that picture there. Everybody sees this lightning flashing across the sky. It happens suddenly, all visible to all. Just like that, so will Jesus' return be. He will come suddenly and it will be visible to all. And many other passages, or a couple other passages speak of that too, that every eye will see him when he returns. So don't listen to those who say, Jesus' warning is, do not listen to those who say that you will find him in some secret place, the desert or a secret room. It's not true. And if someone says that he will return on such and such a date, don't believe them. In Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus says, "No man knows the day or the hour of the coming of the Son of Man." If someone promises that they are the Christ, but offer an earthly salvation, don't believe them. That's what the Antichrist will do. He will offer a temporary earthly deliverance. And for a short time, he will bring world peace, universal prosperity, great advances in medication and technology. But Scripture says that the real Christ gained for us spiritual and eternal salvation from sin. Scripture says that the real Christ went to the cross to pay for the sins of his people. And that the real Christ then gained forgiveness for his people from their sins and eternal life for them. Antichrist won't care about that. He will not be pointing to the cross daily and talking about a spiritual salvation. He won't care about that. He will be focused on world peace and prosperity. So if someone offers an earthly salvation, do not believe that they are the Christ. There's a certain outcome in all this. Two things regarding this outcome. First, we believers will not be deceived by these false Christs, false reports of his coming, and we will not be deceived even by Antichrist himself. Everyone will be amazed at what Antichrist can do. And we would be deceived if left to ourselves. That's the point of Matthew 24, verse 24. It says, "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." We each have a sinful nature, and without the powerful work of Jesus Christ within us, we would be led astray by the Antichrist, by his miracles. We would see them and we would bow before the beast. We would say, "No one can do that but the anointed of God." We would sing his praises. We would be destroyed spiritually and our children. However, we believers, elect believers, we will not be deceived and we will not be destroyed. Look at verse 24. This is very comforting. Verse 24 says, "If it were possible, they," that is the signs and wonders, "shall deceive the very elect." It says, "if it were possible," meaning that it is not possible that the Antichrist will deceive the elect. Not possible. Now, who are these elect? The elect are those whom God has chosen to have eternal salvation. The elect are those whom God has chosen before the world began to have eternal salvation. And we believers, we are the elect. We would not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for all our salvation if we were not the elect. We would not believe if we were not chosen to have salvation before the world began. That's Acts 13, verse 48. "As many as were ordained to eternal life believed." So we are the elect. And we then will not be deceived. Think of that. We and our children in the Lord will not be deceived by even the Antichrist. Not by the false reports of his coming now, not by the false Christ now, but not even by that powerful Antichrist at the end. We will not be deceived because God's decree of election, it will stand. It must stand. Daniel 4, verse 35 shows that what God has determined always comes to pass. Daniel 4, verse 35 says, "He," that is God, "doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, 'What doest thou?'" He's God, and God has chosen to give to us eternal salvation. Therefore, we cannot be deceived, and destroyed by the Antichrist. What God has determined to happen, it will happen. We will have eternal salvation. That is a wonderful comfort. God will bring us to say no to that Antichrist, no to bowing down before that powerful one, even in the face of death, and instead bring us to say, I will serve Christ, the true Christ, the anointed of God, the spiritual Savior from sin. Remember, too, that Jesus died for us, the elect, and none for whom Christ died can ever perish, could ever be destroyed by the Antichrist. Jesus' precious blood was shed for us, His people, us believers. And those for whom Christ's precious blood was shed cannot be deceived, cannot be destroyed. God will use the Word to keep us from being deceived by these false Christs, false reports, and by Antichrist himself. This is wonderful to think about, that He uses the Word even brought to us tonight. His Word is powerful. We read that, Romans chapter 1, His Word is powerful. And He is working even through the Word tonight to deliver us from deceivers, and even from that Antichrist to come. In the future, if someone says that Christ is somewhere in the desert, or He's in some room or some other place, we will know, by the power of God, that report is false. God will remind us of Matthew chapter 24, verse 27, which speaks of that lightning in the east that shines even to the west that all see. And we'll remember, yes, Christ's coming will be visible to all. He's not in some secret place. It's a false report. And if someone predicts the timing of His coming, we will know by the power of God that that's a false report. God will bring us to remember Matthew 24, verse 36. No man knows the day or the hour of Christ's second coming. And if someone predicts, or when the Antichrist himself comes, that powerful Antichrist, God, He will make it clear that that Antichrist is not the Christ. He will bring us to recall that the true Christ brings a spiritual salvation. He's not focused on the earthly temporal things. God will bring us to remember His Word and the truth. The elect believer will not be deceived. The certain outcome is that, first, we will not be deceived. And second, the certain outcome is that Christ will come and destroy the Antichrist, destroy all false Christs, destroy all unbelievers. Destroy them. Verse 27 speaks of the coming of the Son of Man. And verse 28 of Matthew 24 says, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." That's a picture. The eagles, or vultures, they fly down and they devour a carcass or a dead body. And that's a picture of how at the end, when the Son of Man comes, as verse 27 spoke of, the Son of Man will come and devour, destroy all of His enemies. That cup of iniquity, it will be filled. It will be filled when Christ returns. For the Antichrist will have been deceiving people. There will have been all those false Christs would have come. All those false reports would have been made. That will fill up the cup of iniquity. And Jesus will then return, and He will cast the Antichrist into the lake of fire. That's Revelation 20, verse 10. It says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast," that's Antichrist again, "the beast, and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And Revelation 20, verse 15 adds this. It says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So those who are not in the book of life, those are all the unbelieving, wicked world. They will be destroyed by Christ the judge. He will come and cast all those who seem so powerful, like that Antichrist, into destruction. Now, as you think of that judgment and Christ's return, he is the judge. As you think about that return and his judgment, believe on him for all of your salvation tonight. For he is the one who went to the cross to pay for the sins of his people. We will stand before him too. Stand before the perfectly righteous one who demands perfection. Trust in Jesus for all of your righteousness before God. Trust in him for all your salvation. And also look for the Savior to come in the way that he said he would. He says in Matthew chapter 24 that he will not come until the last elect is gathered, till he's brought to conscious salvation through the preaching. He says that Christ will return in a visible way on the clouds of glory. Look for him to come and pray for his coming. When he comes, he will bring us in body and soul to live with him in the new heavens and new earth, where we will no longer have to deal with deceivers. They will be destroyed. We will not face any longer the Antichrist there. He will be destroyed. We will no longer deal with sin. We will only perfectly serve the Lord Jesus forever and live in perfect unity with God's people for every nation, tribe, and tongue. Pray for that day. May that day come quickly. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we bow humbly before thee. We thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou wilt apply that word to our hearts. May we be comforted by the truth that even in the face of the false Christs and false reports and even Antichrist, the elect will not be deceived. And our children in the Lord will not be deceived. May we see that. May we praise thee in response. And we pray, O Lord, that the Savior may come quickly. We look forward to that day. In Jesus' name, amen.